So, while we are here, we have come here to practice, yeah? And to practice, practice two things. Practice samatha, and then practice vipassana. Samatha, yeah, brings us calm, yeah? And brings us a quality, you know, where we develop the knowingness of the citta. Once we have developed the knowingness of the citta, then we can go and investigate the things, yeah, that we think is us, the things we think is ours or belong to us, yeah, the principle of anatta. Or we can investigate the principle of anicca. Or we can investigate the principle of dukkha. Because whatever, you know, whatever arises and ceases, yeah, I mean, creates some sort of dukkha, dissatisfaction. Dukkha is not suffering, yeah? It's dissatisfaction. This ease, discomfort, you know, the slightest, yeah? The slightest form of disease, yeah? That is dukkha, yeah? I mean, when we come from the West, we think dukkha is only, you know, suffering, yeah? I mean, so actually, not a lot of people are really suffering, yeah? But they have a lot of dukkha, yeah? I mean, when we think about the dukkha of the body, the moment we get up in the morning and we don't want to get up, yeah, I mean, it's dukkha. Yeah, we want to turn around and sleep longer, yeah, it's dukkha, yeah, there we see already. When we're hungry, it's dukkha. When we're thirsty, it's dukkha. When it's too hot, it's dukkha. When it's too cold, it's dukkha. I mean, can't we see the dukkha, yeah? The dukkha is the first noble truth. Yeah? The Lord Buddha taught us the first noble truth, dukkha. Yeah? There is dukkha. Every one of us does have dukkha. And I'm talking only about the physical dukkha. Yeah? When we need to go to the toilet, it's dukkha. Yeah? And then we relieve ourselves, and then it's sukha. Yeah? So we use only the things, you know, that measure, that relieve us from the dukkha, but these are momentarily. When we are hungry, you know, we eat something, you know, that is relief of dukkha, yeah? But it's not, you know, it's not the elimination of dukkha. The elimination of dukkha comes, you know, with the investigation of what creates the dukkha, yeah? It's our wanting, it's our desire, wanting this, wanting that, yeah? It's the second noble truth, yeah? The desire to want this, yeah, or the desire not to want this, yeah? It's both, yeah? Wanting or not wanting, yeah? Wanting to be, wanting not to be, wanting to have, wanting not to have, wanting to meet and wanting not to meet, yeah? That is what creates the dukkha, the dukkha in the heart, yeah? I mean, the physical dukkha we have every day, yeah? But I was talking about the dukkha of the heart. Even the arahant still has physical dukkha, but he's not really interested. Huh? So, what is the third noble truth? The third noble truth has an end of dukkha, and the fourth noble truth is why we are here. Yeah? We are here to go along the path, yeah? Or to walk the path of finding the end of dukkha. And that is sila. Yeah? For us, you know, the lay people who are here, it's the eight precepts. So we keep the eight precepts, and there's no fidgeting around it, yeah? The eight precepts, I mean, every one of you should be clear, yeah? About the eight precepts, not harming any living being, yeah? Not taking what is not given, yeah? No sexual conduct, yeah? No lies, no harmful speech, yeah? No alcohol, no drugs, Then, what is it? I mean, they repeat it, yeah, I mean, I forgot. Not eating after midday, not sleeping on high beds and comfortable beds, and not wearing any perfumes, you know, or ornaments, yeah, and going to shows and things like that, yeah. These are the eight precepts that we keep when we come to this monastery, yeah. We talk about it, we keep it, and then that's it. We forget about it, yeah. But we keep it, yeah? Otherwise, it is one of the fetters, yeah? Not keeping the precepts is one of the fetters, yeah? I mean, there are 10 fetters that bind us to the realm of birth and death, yeah? And one of the fetters is not keeping the precepts, yeah? One day we keep it, the next day we don't keep it, then we keep it, and we don't keep it, yeah? I mean, when you're normally in your normal life, you know, wherever you're from, yeah? I mean, Sometimes you keep them, and sometimes you don't keep them. Huh? And that is the problem. Huh? That is the problem, that is the second fetter, or that's the third fetter, you know, depending on how you see it. Huh? that keeps us from entering the stream, from entering the path, you know, that leads to deliverance from dukkha. So we make sure, you know, to keep it, yeah? Even when you go back, you know, when you go back, then at least keep the five precepts, yeah? Why are the five precepts so important, yeah? I mean, it's a guarantee, when we keep the five precepts, to come back at least as a human being. If we don't keep the five precepts, we go to the lower realms. That is given, yeah? That's for sure, yeah? People maybe don't believe in heaven and hell, yeah? But heaven and hell exist, yeah? I mean, even in most of the religions, or probably in all of the religions, heaven and hell exist, yeah? And we have been to hell so often, you know, I mean, that's why we are actually afraid of hell, yeah? Because we know how it feels like, yeah? Anyway, these five precepts, you know, keep us from going down to the lower realm. The lower realms is the animal realms, is the ghost realms, is the demon realm, and is the hell realm, yeah? And the hell realms is, yeah, I mean, it's full, yeah? It's full of beings, yeah? I mean, just looking at this world, what they do, and how many things, you know, they are doing, how bad things they are doing, yeah? I mean, they all go to hell, yeah? There's no way that they can't avoid it, yeah? And, you know, they suffer a lot in the hell, and then they come back as a human being, because some days they have kept the precepts, so they can come back for a while, yeah? And then they do the same thing, yeah? They do the bad things, you know, because they were oppressed in hell, yeah? And in German we say the oppressed of today is the oppressor of tomorrow, yeah? So they come back and oppress other people, and then to go to hell again. And that is the normal cycle, yeah? Huh? Human life, hell. Human life, hell. No, actually, human life, ghost realm, and then human realm. And then hell, huh? And then ghost realm, and then human realm. That is the normal cycle for most of the beings, yeah? Some of us, you know, have a lot of good merit, yeah? They keep the five precepts, they are very generous, they are very respectful, and they are very grateful, yeah? For things that are given to them. Grateful to their parents, yeah? That they looked after them for 20 years, yeah? Grateful for every sponsor, you know? Grateful for the teachers that they taught them something. Where do you find that in the West anymore, huh? Yeah? Nowhere. Huh? I mean, where's the gratefulness to our parents, huh? I mean, we accuse them of all things that they did unto us, yeah? Yeah? But we are not grateful that they spent their life working for our being, for our well-being. No? Yeah? We forget that. Yeah? Just like the West, yeah? I'm sorry to divert a little bit. Just like the West, yeah? Forgot the gratefulness toward Gorbachev that allowed the reunification of Germany without a war. Where is it? Nowhere, yeah? I mean, we take things for granted, yeah? Our parents should there be for us, yeah? That's what we take for granted. This, you know, should be given to us, yeah? No. Our only right is our karma, yeah? Whatever we have done unto other people, yeah? That is what is our right, be it good or be it bad. Yeah? If you have done a lot of good things for other people, yeah? I mean, wherever we go, people will do good for us. Yeah? And if you receive a lot of bad things, then we know. I mean, how we treated people in the previous life. Yeah? So, remember this. Again, keeping the five precepts, being very generous, being very respectful, and being grateful. Yeah? And these things, yeah, are not only condition for going up to heaven, yeah, but they are also a condition for practicing the path that leads to the end, yeah, of dukkha. Without these things, we don't go anywhere. Yeah? Without gratitude, without being grateful for the Dhamma that the Lord Buddha taught us, or for the, you know, for the teachers, you know, they try to teach us the Dhamma, you know. I mean, no, but we are not perfect, yeah? I'm not perfect, yeah? Yeah? So I do make mistakes, yeah? Sometimes, yeah? Yeah? But still, I try to do my best, you know, to teach you, yeah? To show you the path, you know, that leads to the end of dukkha, yeah? That is what I'm trying to do, yeah? Being grateful for what is given, yeah? Being grateful for the teachers we have. Be it school teachers, be it university teachers, or whatever. I mean, how difficult is it, yeah? I mean, we are not taught, especially when we come from the West, we are not taught like this, yeah? We are taught to demand, 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 yeah? This I should get, this I should get, yeah? Carlos is smiling. Yeah. But that's it, yeah? I mean, I come from the same society, you know? I come from the same education and I know, yeah? I mean, it is, you know, it is taught to us, you know? I mean, this should be do, this university or this professor should teach like this, you know, and this like this, you know? And we should be taught like this and this and this. This parent should give us this and this and this, yeah? That is how we are taught, yeah? We are not taught to be respectful, yeah? Also respectful to the parents. We are not taught to be grateful, you know, to the things that are given to us, yeah? I mean, even somebody gives you an apple, you know, be grateful. Or a piece of cloth, you know, or the kuti, you know, here in the monastery, yeah? A place to stay, you know? You don't have to pay anything. The only thing that they expect is that you use this place, you know, to practice, yeah? Everything, you know, that is here, you know, is given for free. The food in the morning is for free. How can we not be grateful? These people get up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning to cook food for us. Huh? And then they come to the monastery and offer it, you know, so that we can live the holy life, yeah? And we forget that, we tend to forget that, yeah? Where is this gratefulness? Okay, the monks go out on Pindapat and collect some of the alms, but not all of the food that we get here is collected on the alms round. Some of the lay people come, you know, with big pots, you know, and with the food, you know, that they cook up, you know, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning and bring to the monasteries, yeah? Please, yeah? Develop this because it is important in our practice, yeah? If we don't have this, yeah? I mean, how do you think, you know, a sotapanna, yeah? A stream mantra. What is the sign of a stream mantra? He's born at most 7 more times, either in heaven or in the human realm, yeah? So if he goes up to heaven, I mean, he has to have this, yeah? He has to have the generosity to give himself. I mean, not only money to give his work. I mean, the lay people who come here to work, yeah, to help, you know, the monks with their lives, building this or building that, you know, or doing this or doing that, yeah, they do it for free, yeah. They don't ask for anything, yeah. It's their generosity. Some of the farmers don't have a lot of money, so they can't give the money. They have a little bit of food, so they give this food to us, yeah. But they also give their free time to us, you know, to help us, you know. Because we do need, you know, in a monastery like this, we do need the help of other people also, yeah. Of the lay people who are outside, you know, living the normal life, yeah. I mean, how much did we do for other people when we lived in the West? Huh? Yeah, ask yourself. Huh? So that's why it is important, yeah? I mean, without gratefulness, without generosity, and generosity, as I said, it's not only money, it's helping, yeah? It's helping with this whole body or helping with this mind, you know, sometimes, you know, in any kind of form, it's generosity, yeah? Giving, yeah? And then there's gratitude, yeah? And respect, yeah? In the West, yeah, I mean, when I talk about respect, in the West we respect only people that we like. No? We only respect people that we like. Yeah? But every person, yeah, deserves our respect. Yeah? Why does he deserve our respect? Because he is born as a human being. Huh? No matter what he does, when we talk about respect, we don't respect what he does, but we respect the person or the being that is, you know, behind this human body. Yeah? This is very different, yeah? We can respect, you know, we can respect the most brutal person, yeah? We can even respect our own murderer, yeah? But we don't have to value what he does, yeah? We can think, you know, this, what he does is bad, yeah? But we still can respect him as a person. Because he had the privilege to become a human being. And how many human beings, yeah? I mean, at the moment there are a lot of human beings, yeah? But when you compare it to how many beings are in hell, you know, it's nothing. Yeah? So be able to become a human being, we can respect that, yeah? But respect doesn't mean that we have to think what he does is good, yeah? We don't have to value this, yeah? But we respect him as a person, as a being, you know, that is on his way, yeah? So we can change, you know, for instance, we can change a bad person, you know, change him slowly to become a good person, yeah? But if we disrespect him from the beginning, we don't even make the effort, yeah? You understand that, yeah? That is just the preliminary things that we need before we even can to start practice. I mean, the sila, you know, and the generosity, gratitude, respect are the preliminary things. And then we can sit down. And when we sit down, when we have these preliminary things, you know, to a certain extent, of course not perfect, to a certain extent, then we can go into samadhi, yeah? When we go into samadhi until there's no more thoughts and there's no more memory coming up, then we see a reality that we probably, most of us don't even know, yeah? It's the present moment where things are happening, where there is no future, where there is no past, where there is no fear, where there is no worries, yeah? Where there is no loneliness, yeah? It's called samadhi, or upachara samadhi, or access samadhi, or however you want to call it, yeah? The moment thought and memory stop, yeah? I mean, that is at least the place that we need to go to take a breath. I mean, I call it the safe house, yeah? Or you can call it when you were little kids, you know, you can call it your home, yeah? Where you could run to when other people, you know, were chasing you or were beating you up, you know, you always run back home, you know, and then you felt safe, yeah? Some of us might remember that, yeah? So this is the safe house where we can go, yeah, at any time. And we should develop it so that we can go there at any time that we need to go there, yeah? When something is very difficult, you know, in our practice, in the practice of investigation, then we need to retreat to the safe house to recuperate ourselves, yeah? To re-energize ourselves. Once we re-energize, yeah, just like when we go home and the parents said, oh, it's not so bad, you know, get some ointment and so on. And then we can go out again because we are strengthened, yeah? We are revitalized, yeah? Or we re-energize. And that is the importance of samadhi, yeah? The other point of samadhi is, you know, to develop this sati, to develop this knowingness of knowing what is going on, yeah? Knowing what is going on in our heart. Not only what is going on in our mind, because before a thought or a memory is formed, I mean the intention is done in the heart. Yeah. So when we are at the level of the heart, we know, oh, you want to form a thought. Yeah. The thought has not formed yet, but we know the intention to form a thought, and then we can leave it at that. You said no interest. Yeah. I don't want to form a thought. Yeah. But we have to get to this, yeah? We have to get to the knowingness. Huh? Once we get to the knowingness, then we can do the investigation. Because for the investigation, we need to know what is happening at this place. Huh? It's just like you use your physical eyes and you observe the animals. No matter if it is the squirrels or if it is the chickens or if it's the ants, yeah? Or the birds, you know, you observe what they're doing and you know what they're doing. You don't have to mentalize it, yeah? You don't have to form an idea about it. You just observe and you know instantly. Huh? How do we know this thing? Yeah? You don't have to form a thought, oh, now these ants build a road, you know? No, we see they are building a road. Yeah? We see they're forming a nest. We see they're escaping the rain. Yeah? Because when we see them, then they go climb up, then we know the rain is coming. Yeah? So we learn from it. Yeah? And this kind of observance we need, you know, for investigation. And what do we investigate? Yeah? I mean the five khandhas that we are attached to. Yeah? Or, you know, whatever you call it, you know, I mean, the first thing is the body, yeah? Just like people are attached to their car in the West, you know? They love their car, you know? I mean, think about these Germans, you know, every Saturday, you know, they wash their car, they wipe their car, they wax their car, you know? There shouldn't be any scratch on the car. It's great. So crazy. And that's the same thing, you know, it's a body. Nothing else, we are attached to this body, yeah? But we are not only attached to this body, we are attached also to feelings, yeah? We see, oh, this is my feeling. No, it's a feeling. Who knows that there is a feeling, yeah? I mean, I often emphasize, you know, about the principle of anatta. Whatever we can see, whatever we can know, cannot be us. The ants that we observe are not us. Huh? The feeling that we know about is not us. The thought that we know about is not us. The memory that we know about is not us. It's just like the cloud or just like the rain passing by. When the rain stops, the rain is gone. Yeah. When the thought, you know, stops, you know, the thought is gone. Yeah. And then the next thought comes. Yeah. Now the rain. So the five khandhas are body, feeling, memory, association, thought, and consciousness. The first thing that we investigate is our attachment to this body. Yeah? To see, investigating that the body is not self. Yeah? Just like when you get out of the car, yeah? When you're born in the car and die in the car, you think you are the car. Yeah? The moment we are born in this body, we die in this body, so we think or we believe that this, yeah, we are the body. Yeah? So we have to separate the body from the citta. Huh? And that is the first stage of investigation. And this, you know, we will do, you know, over and over and over again until, you know, it forms a kiss. And now I have to stop because of the rain, you know, I'm in a citta. Yeah? Next time, the Kalisas didn't want me to go on.